Two of our most popular podcasts last year involved the perspectives of the opinionated young man, Justin Pritikin, who graduated college and unceremoniously left camp this summer to start a corporate level job with Lululemon, with whom he had been working with during college. Back from LA for a few days, we've cornered Justin and are ready for his thoughts on what he learned in relation to his camp experience and what camps can do better with his generation. Welcome to the Day Camp Pod.
This is the Day Camp Pod from Go Camp Pro, bringing you the best ideas, strategies, and discussions in the day camp industry. You can find our show notes at daycamppodcast.com. A big thanks to our sponsors who make the Day Camp Pod possible.
The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialists. Find purveyors of the best recreation solutions to keep camp going strong. Check out their website at crs4rec.com. CRS is serious about fun. If scheduling was a headache for you in 2022, come check out Camptivities. Camptivities is specifically designed for camps by camp people. Save time, money, and resources to create your best diverse activity schedule yet. Find out more at camptivities.com.
Welcome back to the Day Camp Podcast. I'm Andy Pritikin, director of Liberty Lake in the Philly suburbs of New Jersey.
I'm Sam Thompson from Crystal Lake, Illinois, Crystal Lake Park District.
And we are back again, ladies and gentlemen, with Justin Pritikin. Justin, how you doing?
I'm great. Nothing like a warm introduction from your father where he takes a couple nice, clean jabs at you.
Hey, you know what? It's my forum, my podcast. You are on my anyway. This show is dedicated to my friend Andy Siegel, who came up to me at the Project Maury thing saying, more Justin Pritikin. Okay. And Justin Pritikin said, you know what? Podcast should be short. It should be like 25 minutes long. You know, we got to be succinct and all that kind of stuff. I said, I don't know if that's long enough for Andy Siegel to be riding his bike around. Okay. He needs to do a full couple of, trips around the whatever, where he's going. So anyway, we're back. So Justin, we're going to get right to it. Okay. So you've been, tell us what happened. Give us a little short, little truncated thing ever since we talked to you last. All right.
Sure. So I was minding my own business at the Final Four in Louisiana with Andy, and Louisiana. I found out I got this job with Lululemon in Los Angeles, and I told my dad about it, and he said, well, you can't go until camp's over. And I said, well, awkward, because I do have to leave. And so I moved to Los Angeles right after the 4th of July, during the 4th of July, actually, and I started working corporate for Lululemon at their their U.S. North American headquarters in Los Angeles, California. So I work in West Hollywood. I live in West Hollywood. It's been a great time. Learned a lot, done a lot of new experiences and whatnot. It's been fun to be an outsider.
Wow, that's interesting. And for those of you to get a little perspective, Justin started selling yoga pants in January at a little store in Pennsylvania. And then by July was out in LA. So nice trajectory, as we say. So here we go, Justin. What are some examples of some of the things that you learned at your time at Lulu that transfers over to the day camp world?
Yeah, I definitely think, and this is going to, none of this stuff's really going to matter with like kids. This is really just younger staff and staff in general, that kind of 16 to 26 year old age range. Just really what the market wants in regards to just a lot of things. We are in this attention-based economy where social currency and relevance is the only thing that matters. And attaining that through the fashion industry is really similar with how people kind of approach life. And people talk about the experiential nature of folks my age and in my age range and how they want to do things, not get things. Yet at the same time, there's a Lululemon belt bag shortage for a reason. And it's because it's been, this is a really crazy statistic. And I can't tell you the metrics on how they get it because I don't even understand it. But the Lululemon belt bag is the most like seen clothing product on social media over the last 2 years, right? It's a $38 fanny pack. But when you upsell it like that and you put the little Lululemon logo on it, it kind of runs away from the company and the control of it. And so yeah, just seeing how fashion works and learning the market demands has been interesting. And you could, I could go in 5 million directions based off that, but you're in control here, as you mentioned, Andy.
All right. But the question, which I feel like I'm still listening to political ads now. The question was, what has she learned that transfers over to the day camp world? Okay.
Yeah.
Because like one of the things, I'm just going to feed you a little bit here. Okay. Because we're talking about doing a tri-state session on scarcity, right? One thing that Lululemon does really well is give people the sense of it's only here for a certain amount of time. You better get your butt to the store and get it because it's not going to be here tomorrow, maybe. Right.
No, that's true. Yeah. I mean, what they do is they'll release 10,000 of an item when they could release 100,000 of the item, and it'll sell out and they'll go, okay, cool. We'll release it in 6 months, maybe, or 4 months, or in a year. And it'll sell out instantly when it happens. And it creates a pressure on the market to keep monitoring the website. People become fanatical about the company and the product because of it. But yeah, I think what Lululemon does really well in a marketing sense to kind of take that and like go further with it is it's all peer-to-peer. There is no LeBron James of Lululemon. There is no big name athletes. Everyone is an ambassador. And these ambassadors are people in the communities that the stores are in. They want in that store, if there be a photo of Lisa, the yoga instructor who teaches, you know, 0.2 miles away from that store wearing the yoga clothes. And then when you go to that yoga studio, Lisa's wearing the Lululemon product. And that's how they want to advertise within communities and things like that and promoting people, which I think is a really smart way to do it. And also kind of is their whole mentality around connecting people through sweat, which is kind of their whole advertising scheme. But the big thing with it is it's a lot of local people posting on social media what these Lululemon things are, what they're wearing, how they're wearing it. And when we live in a generation of iPad kids, right, people who literally need to be watching a video or TikTok while they're eating, they can't start eating until they have something ready to watch. This is what works for people. And it shows them the low barrier entry, like that belt bag, to like get into the product. And it's people want easy ways to be popular and to achieve something that's like fun or cool to do. It's the same reason why pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America right now. It's a low barrier entry. You don't have to be that athletic coordinated. It's not like tennis, right? And so that's kind of their approach, I guess you could say.
Well, that's a great point about the social media, and a lot of camps are doing a pretty decent job with that. In regard to TikTok, just your thoughts. You know, a lot of camps are diving into the TikTok thing. And when I see people sort of selling on TikTok, even if it's selling that you should work at my camp kind of thing, it comes off as like really insincere, and it sort of doesn't seem like any of the other TikToks. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think TikTok is a space that every camp should operate in. Folks in my age bracket spend close to 2 hours a day on it. And within those 2 hours, probably rattle through about 250 TikToks during that time frame, at least. But the thing with TikTok and camps doing it is it's about how you do it, right? Not what you do. And a lot of camps go about it, I think, in two fashions. One is the unprofessional route that you kind of mentioned, where like it does feel forced, and that doesn't necessarily come off as unprofessional, but like it just doesn't mesh well with folks who are looking for more lighthearted experience when like it kind of just attacks them out of nowhere. The other side of it is if someone's going to work for you via TikTok ad, maybe this is a no-no word on this podcast, you can't make an ass out of yourself. You can't make an ass of yourself. You can't look like some fool, right? And I understand doing trends and going things like that, but you don't want to be the camp known for the weird person dressed like this, dancing like that, because the random 16-year-old's going to look at that and go, I don't want to work for that weirdo, right? And then that proliferates this whole concept that camp people are weird, which sometimes they are. We all are. We do a crazy job and everything. But I'm not saying we have to be cool, but like, that's kind of a turnoff for a lot of people to go in the woods and hang out with this guy. They're like, oh,
all right. Man. So if you were the head of a camp, right. Mm-hmm. And you had to start making TikToks, what would your TikToks look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. Hire me and I'll answer it. No,
you won't work for me. Refuses.
That's true. I refuse. Yeah. Well, that's why I went to Lululemon, man. That's a whole nother.
All right. That's not, but, that's, you know, TMI going on.
But we have to be what people kind of want camp to be, right? In the sense of when people are looking to work at camp, and this is going to be where I kind of like jump off that, like the whole resume thing and where I get mad about that stuff. It's like, we have to show people what they kind of want from camp in the sense of, I always start with the word fun, but if the funnel starts with fun, then we get to like, you know, becoming an amazing leader and a well-rounded person and the best experience you could ever have as a college student, so on and so forth, right? And so when you show people what they can become from working at camp, that's one part of it. The other people is show who worked at camp. Show me who I'm going to be spending my time with. Show me what they're like. Tell me about the people, right? It's one thing to see a bunch of kids playing. It's one thing to see a bunch of people who kind of look like me playing with kids, doing things with kids. But I want to know who I'm going to, you know, spend these 8 weeks with, right? There are people at every camp who you know are coming back. Maybe they're lifers. Maybe they're people who had such a great year and like, I know I'm coming back already. Spotlight them, right? Because the beauty of doing something like that, if you get person A and you tell me all about person A and I go, wow, I want to be friends with person A, right? I want to work with person A, right? It's the same thing with influencers. It's why people follow people because they are attracted to them in some way, shape, or form via lifestyle, et cetera, right? Show me person A and then show me person B, show me person C. So I feel comfortable joining this new community. At the same time, person A, B, and C are then going to repost their stuff. And that's the best way to get staff is someone who's really passionate about camp, who's cool and young and works there already, telling other people. And when they have the avenue to do that, that's going to get more people than your silly little ad that you sent to the guidance counselor and have, you know, Miss Jacobs, 55-year-old guidance counselor, you should work at this camp. Because that doesn't mean jack crap. And that's the other problem with having 35 to 55-year-old people managing your social media and reaching out to people. And it's like, okay, like that's like mom or my aunt or my uncle, like, or dad, someone telling me to get a job here. People buy into the people who recruit them in a lot of ways. And if it's a young person talking to a young person, that is so much easier because I can be like, yo, look, and put on that young person voice that I'm slowly losing as I become a corporate machine, but and give it to it on the real. Because when Andy, I'm going to kind of throw a little crap at you, but like when you have a 55-year-old, yeah, good. When you have a 55-year-old interviewing a 16-year-old kid, you kind of like are reading it like a terms and conditions to them. And even when you're like trying to make it loose, when you're trying to be like, oh man, but it's a lot of fun. It's like, well, fun for you is a night off from the kids, you know, or for you going to a Roger Waters concert, Andy. It's like these people want to see little baby, want to, you know, whatever, right? You get what I'm saying? So it's just, it doesn't mesh well.
Justin, I just had this happen to me. I've been having a really hard time getting before and after school staff this year. I, you know, so understaffed, so many kids. And I finally went to the workers that were working for me and said, do you not have any friends? You know, where are your friends? And all of a sudden, I got an avalanche. I just hired 10 people last week, and they're all turning out to be similar to the person that I had already hired that I enjoy. And so they're not sending me garbage. All of a sudden it's blowing up and I'm getting the right people. So everything you just said really just happened to me this in the last couple of weeks, but you clarified it for me. So yeah. That's awesome.
Look, the first thing I would do if I started a new job at a camp in suburbia is I would find out where all of the smart young people are going to hang out, what gym they're going to, what coffee shop they go to. And I would be wearing whatever camp t-shirt it is, and like being a happy, normal young person around them to just try to like get in with that group. Because once you get one and they flip another, then you have an absolute hotspot in an area. And so I think we focus on, oh, going to that college. Oh, meeting this person. Oh, no, it's like, who are your best people? Identifying them and then kind of going after their friend groups from there. Because that to me is a much better known commodity than the random person who pops up in Campminder and maybe flakes out. Cause at least there's some other form of buy-in of like, oh, well, Johnny works there. And like, I don't want to, you know, kind of, and people do think like that still, I promise, you know, Gen Z, we suck in a lot of ways, but there is some, you know, we do have morals to an extent.
All right. Before we talk more about staff, cause you know, of course that's a big topic these days. Just one last thing about Lululemon. All right. And we'll leave them alone is the raving fans thing, right? Because I think that there is a huge similarity between the way that people think about their camp that they love and it's their place and all that kind of thing. This is the way that Lululemon has done that with freaking athleisure. Right. So, you know, you talked about, you know, the social media stuff and the reposting and all that kind of stuff. What are other ways that you've seen that they've sort of been able to, you know, grease the wheels on this whole thing and sort of exacerbate the whole raving fan phenomena?
Well, I would say it really comes from their workers. What's so interesting about Lululemon's social media is they do have a social media team. I know a lot of them. They work primarily in LA. They're really nice, hip art director type people. But a lot of the things that they put out there are to the educators, which is their word for sales associate at stores, to make content that they then repost. And if Lululemon, with, you know, 9+ million followers, reposts, you know, Jose's TikTok that he made about his haul, even though he works at Lululemon, like, that's a really cool incentive to just do it. They're not going to pay you or anything. And so they build that with their staff by promoting their staff on all levels of the company. That's a big thing. I would say the second thing is the experience that people get. Lululemon does not need to have stores. They do close to 85% of their business through e-commerce right now. The reason that stores exist is to give people a good experience when they go there, whether it's to hem their pants, whether it's to return a bra that didn't fit, or to just pick up a belt bag or whatever it may be. And the amount of training that I've done for educators on guest experience, it's less training on technical product education and how to deal with X, Y, and Z. It's more of how to talk to people and work with people when they come in. It's to build that brand loyalty. And so they focus on that. They invest heavily on that. And they donate to the community. They give stores budgets to do things within their community. You might show up to a SoulCycle class and there might be a bunch of Lululemon people there and you're walking out with vouchers for free pants. Like, that's what they want to do. And to build that trust and that, I guess, love.
Yeah. We've been called a cult, you know, at camp more than once. There's no doubt about it, but that is the kind of thing. I mean, you were telling me that there's Reddits dedicated to Lululemon fandom.
Mm-hmm. There is, and they're fascinating. People make predictions about things, when products going to get restocked. Right.
And these are not run by employees.
No,
these are by crazy fans, like your alumni, your camp alumni kind of thing.
Yeah, or the Malibu moms, you know, like people who are just waiting for the new Wonder Puff jacket, right? And it speaks volumes to, you know, being more than just a product. And it's really interesting. There's a lot to be learned when you see like Nike and companies like Adidas investing in celebrities versus Lululemon kind of investing in the people who work there, but also in the areas where people buy stuff.
Yeah. Well, what you were saying about the customer experience when you go into Lululemon, everybody's supposed to be super nice to you and all that, you know, I mean, you can see the places that train that, right? I was just in a Nordstrom's, right? A good Apple store can do that. A good Starbucks can do that. It makes a difference. It sticks to your brain. There's no doubt about it.
Which is why, here's your circle back to camp, which is why when you have a highly trained 19 to 23 year old that you trust going out there talking about camp, it builds better than, you know, some random 35 year old who might be highly trained, just because they're more prepared and more adapt to talk about those kinds of things with those people versus some random person, right? Lululemon will put people on the sales floor who haven't even learned about what like a pant is called or anything like that. It's just, as long as they've gone through the people and culture training of like what to do with guests, they can sell. Doesn't matter what they know.
That's really important. And because the camps, we spend a lot of time in orientations on the nuts and bolts and not a lot of times on that you're talking about, you know, the experience. Yeah.
Well, and experience is something that I think a lot about, especially with new staff who didn't go to camp. And I think that it's nice to have little culture thermometers, I like to call them, where like that's what you get when you check in with a veteran who's surrounded by newer people to ask how things are going. But at the same time, like experience is what's going to do word of mouth advertising in the off season, retention, hopefully if they come back, but to really meet people where they're at, where orientation, especially the first orientation, should be like, okay, I had a great time. I want to come back here for the second one. Right. And I think that there's so much to learn with camp, and especially on a big property, that's overwhelming. And a lot of times we fire hose staff with things. I've done sleepaway camp training. That's 2 weeks and you get fire hosed. Right. And a lot of it is, you know, fresh out of the frying pan into the fryer. Like, you just got to learn through, you know, trial by fire. And so I think that, you know, really focusing on people having a good time, connecting with others, kind of like a college orientation, right? Yeah. Like things like that.
Right. But with the experience thing, it's like the Disney kind of aspect is like, when you're there, all your touches have to be positive in that way. That's what I was sort of getting at. And we hear it a lot at our day camp. And this is something we've talked about in the podcast, is that when parents are dropping their kids off, just that unto itself can be a major opportunity. Or when, you know, at a camp that does busing, when the bus pulls up and the bus captain jumps off, you know, that kind of thing. But we do have to talk a little bit about commercial recreation specialists. Do you know who they are, Justin? You ever heard of them?
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan.
Because let me tell you, they're pretty nice people also, all right? And the customer experience is great. There's a guy named Rich Wills. He's a tremendous guy. They go to all the conferences. But anyway, they are the fine purveyors of the best recreation solutions that keep the camp going strong, all right? And I've been waiting for this one. I got the ad copy here. I've been waiting for this. You ready? They have an inflatable floating track. Okay, inflatable floating track. So for those of you who've never done a wet and wild kind of day where you lay down an inflatable floating track into your pool or into your lake or into your pond, or I don't know, maybe on the grass. But you can, the kids have an amazing time in that. Justin, do you recall that with the children?
I can recall, but also, like, camp is best to do things you can't do at home. Okay. You can run on a track at home. You can't run on water at home.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So anyway, check out their website at crs4rec.com, because CRS is serious about fun. Check out the inflatable floating track. All right, we're back. Justin Pritikin, question number two.
Before you jump going to say, Andy, when you brought up Disney, I just found out that they have a 5 and 25 rule. So if you can, they enable their staff to be able to fix something if it'll take 5 minutes or less, and it'll cost under $25. So they can use their staff card to get a new ice cream if they see somebody drop their ice cream on the ground or whatever. So 5 and 25 is kind of interesting.
I love it. And you know, most camps are, we're penny pinchers, right? You know, whether you're a small rec program or you're a large private camp, like, we're worried about every cent. And people get into this mentality of like, oh no, it's going to cost. Oh no, it's going to cost. And they sort of lose sight of the customer experience. So that's great. No doubt about it. All right, Justin. So let's talk about some new advice for camp professionals as we enter recruiting season. Okay. And everybody's just like, oh my God, what do we do? Help us.
Okay. You put me in these positions where I sound like an alarmist, okay? And hopefully one day I can just show up to Tri-C and go, everything is great, guys. And here's how we can just be a little bit better.
No, Justin, what's going to happen is you're going to show up to Tri-State one day and you're going to be 40 years old and you're going to be like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm too old now.
Good. I'll be stale at that point, which is good. I can't wait. Oh my God. Okay. So I would say there's a lot of things that kind of irk people from maybe wanting to work where you work. So I would say the first thing is it's twofold. I have two parts to it. One is bragging about your camper enrollment. And the other part of it is showing off expensive new purchases that you're making for the camp at the same time while you are underpaying staff and telling them that we are understaffed, right? Because people can do math, okay? And people see how much enrollment costs. People see how much they're getting paid. And then they see you showing off this giant water slide that you purchased. And then you're like, we're so understaffed. And they're like, interesting. Isn't that interesting, right? And it seems so obvious, right? Yet, like, let's be honest. Again, you don't make a lot of money at camp, and that's okay. And we get it. And we know why, blah, 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 right? Cool. But most people don't know that, right? And then when they see how much you're going to pay them, it kind of is it's a head scratcher. Well, they're like, well, no crap, you're understaffed. Right.
Let the record show that I did not buy a shiny new water slide. Okay.
You did not. No.
Yes, Justin, we've talked about this before in your other appearances. And I think one of the things that I came away with is that for someone that has never been to camp before as a camper, does not really know what the hell a camp is, it's pretty impossible to get someone really good if you're really underpaying people. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Or you just if you're below market. Right?
In any industry.
Yeah. First. I mean, look, you were in Pennsylvania where the minimum wage was $7.25, the federal minimum wage, which is insane. Okay. But how many places are actually paying $7.25?
Minimum wage is an illusion. It's what your neighbor's paying is what matters. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think that desperation also is not sexy. In the sense of when you're like, we're scrambling for people, right? And the sense of that is also quite alarming at staff training. Last year, that was a big takeaway I got. Because as early as I dipped from camp, I didn't dip until July. So I did all the fun lead up stuff and had a little fun the first week of camp before I left. And people are kind of looking around going, oh, we're kind of short a handful of people. Or, oh, I hear they're hiring still. And it kind of puts a little nerve of uncertainty in the background of everything. And then when you're hiring, you know, kind of anyone at the end of the game, because you're like, holy crap, I need a 16-year-old boy, so help me God, right? And we've been in that position the last 2 years, most camps. It's a little disconcerting to people who are at the top of their game, maybe in that 19-20 range of like, wow, you know, like they're kind of just, it's not that big of a deal to work here anymore. It doesn't have the same, you know, sparkle to it when they're just picking up this person and then they can't even fire them when they suck.
That's like, a big deal.
And then my job becomes harder and I feel underappreciated. And there's all these surveys and I've seen the results of things like this too, where people are like, hire more staff instead of paying me more. And I think that's a very like idealist to look at things, because I don't think you can do that right now for the most part. But I think like this is, you know, the kind of world where, at least even in the corporate world, a lot of ways with what I'm doing now, it's kind of approach of like, hey, can you do more stuff for us? And we'll pay a bit more instead of like, you know, scrapping together another person to come onto this team or whatnot. And I think, you know, really meeting people where they're at and then valuing people and giving them more of an opportunity, I think is an interesting angle that maybe not enough camps are really doing because of like the group structure, and they feel like they can't flex them out more. And it's time to get creative. It's not time to stay stagnant.
I think that most camps are learning this over the last few years, and most camps have raised what they pay. And that most camps understand this to a degree, and are relenting on that historical, this is what we've been able to do thing. I mean, look, you were talking to a camp last week that was paying high school kids over $3,000 for the summer to be there. That is not the first time that I've heard that. You know, when a high school kid can make $15, $16 an hour working the drive-in at McDonald's, you know, again, it's the going rate. So you're either getting, you know, if you're not going to pay them the going rate, then you're going to get kids that may have come through your system that are just addicted to your place. They're going to come regardless. But most camps can't survive just on those kids. You have to be.
Well, this is what I'm going to sound like such a freaking young person here. Yes, I agree with everything you just said. But here's the difference between working at camp and McDonald's. McDonald's and Trader Joe's, wherever, that is not as hard of a job as camp, right? And people mm-hmm. start working at camp and go, holy crap, this is really hard. And I'm being paid kind of now, if you even say it's the same amount of money, I could make the same amount doing this. That's a real like gotcha moment in a lot of ways for people. And then, you know, that's a point of inflection that they have to make of what they want their summer to look like from there.
It's
and
true, but Justin, that, put yourself in a situation of a camp operator, right? Don't you want the person that wants that challenge of that really hard job versus working at McDonald's? Like, shouldn't the person who wants to work at McDonald's work at McDonald's?
Of course. One, young people don't know what the hell's going on or what they want. Two, like, let's be honest, right? Two, like, yeah, in a perfect world, but that's, young people don't have to challenge themselves if they don't want to, right? And when they realize, you know, that this class is too hard, I'll just drop it, right? Or take it pass fail. Like, that's what college is like now, right?
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh, this job is hard, I'm not going to ride it out. Andy, you didn't let me quit baseball in fourth grade. You're like, finish the season, then don't do baseball next year, right? Nowadays, kid's going to cry for 2 days in a row, and mom's going to go, oh, crap, give him an iPad and let him quit, right? That's just the world that we live in, right? And so when it gets hard for people, and this circles back to the experience thing, we kind of got to coddle people throughout the beginning. It's like what they do in college, not to keep bringing up college, where that first year at Villanova, that first year at any college is easy. Oh my God. It's just like, please don't be homesick enough to leave. That's what schools are doing, right? Oh, I took the easiest math class of like my life, my freshman year of college, because that's what you do freshman year, right? To feel comfortable so that you want to, you know, spend $74,000 and come back the next year, right? Mm-hmm. Which in this equivalent is light yourself on fire and work at a camp again. So
Andy, you're the money man. In most people's budgets, the staff are like, what, 80% of your budget? I mean, yeah, isn't that realistic?
Could be. I mean, 70s. I mean, whatever. But it's a high number. It's the biggest part, no doubt.
So maybe we need to do better letting them know they're the priority and that they're the biggest part of.
You're going to give them copies of your budget when at orientation?
No, but, you know, I don't know. Got to get creative here, don't we?
Yeah. Well, transparency is a big thing. And I think what Justin is getting at is, you know, we can't bullshit people. That's what's coming down. And I like what he said about, you know, people talking about how, oh, it's so easy to get campers. And, look at this great new, you know, $500,000 pool complex we just built and all that stuff. And meanwhile, they're paying people $800 for the summer.
Yeah. Andy, we talked about today before this podcast started about how the best advertising for camp is when you can tell people your camp's closed. Exclusivity breeds, you know, attention scarcity. In a lot of ways. Yeah, scarcity, right? And when, you know, neighborhoods and communities are talking about that, and the, you know, the parent looks at the older kid and goes, oh, maybe you should work there. And it's like, I'm not going to pay a lot of money. Like, it's really quick to get there, especially when the dates and rates for the camper is listed. And then the next tab over on the website is the staff pay. It's like right there. And it's really, it communicates a lot, and not a lot. People don't understand the camp industry. There's one thing I've learned with like young people. People don't even understand that there's a camp profession out there. Like it's so insider in a lot of ways. And so they don't know what goes into like running a camp money-wise, from insurance to like buying things, you know, all that stuff. And so you can't even explain it to people, but you have to understand like this disconnect is out there.
Yeah, no, it's a huge disconnect. And, you know, Justin and I recorded a TikTok thing for the American Camp Association yesterday. And they one of the questions that I had to ask Justin was one word to describe the camp experience. And his word was rare.
Yeah, there's nothing like it, right?
Yeah, which is good and bad. Mostly bad.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very interesting. You know, nothing like telling people you worked at camp and then, what do people tell you? You either get the people who go, oh, I went to camp and it was the worst thing ever, right? Or people going, oh, I went to camp and it was the best thing ever.
No, but then that's 10% and 10%. The other 80% are just like, oh, what the hell's that?
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, something I think about a lot.
Well, you went to like KOA? Did you work at a KOA?
Exactly.
That's usually what I get. All right. So listen up, folks. Scheduling is hard. Justin, I don't know if you've ever done like any kind of camp scheduling kind of thing, but one point in your life, you'll be able to. And I mean, let me tell you, I see what my friends up at Everwood do with their big Excel sheets and stuff. Woo! It's easy to make mistakes and affects every camper summer. It's time to make it easier, ladies and gentlemen. All right. You have so many things to be thinking about in your camp day. Don't wait until May to tackle your activity schedule. Get your schedule set up now. Let Camptivities help you create an engaging schedule without mistakes and less time so you can get back to the other parts at camp that you like. All right. Camptivities does auto scheduling, camper scheduling, group scheduling, rainy day scheduling, and so much more. So if you're looking for a better way to schedule this summer, let's talk. They'd love to show you the next big thing in camp. Visit Camptivities.com and set up a time to chat. Let them help you get away from your desk and back to camp. And, you know, it's not in this ad copy here, but it's written by camp professionals, for camp professionals, by day camp pros, okay? By my friends at Kinneret, I think I said it right this time, out in L.A. So what do you miss most about L.A. right this moment right now? Don't say the weather because we've got a beautiful day today.
Being able to walk to where I want to eat.
So, but yeah. that could be... You could be in any city to say.
I know, but I'm in the suburbs of New Jersey.
I'm talking uniquely LA. Give me a uniquely LA thing. What do you miss that's uniquely LA? Yeah, nothing. Look at that. He's done. Well, I mean, it's nice. Hiking in the Hollywood Hills is nice. That's what it appears to be.
It is nice.
From the pictures you send. All right. So anyway, Justin, wrapping things up here. Can you give us a thing or two of what camps are doing wrong these days that's really irritating you?
Yeah, I feel like we kind of touched upon this. I got two recommendations. Why call out a problem if you can't give a solution, right? Or maybe I'll just call things out. Who knows where this goes? But I think one thing is social media, right? I think that social media is a fun little manipulative weapon in a lot of ways, and it really preys upon people's emotions. And we hear a lot about negativity and things like that through social media, but there's room, there's space for positivity out there. And I think that as it gets cold and as people are getting bored, as you know, the dog days of college and high school and things like that are kind of just going race to winter break, kind of, this is when we got to be pumping the summer camp social media, get people staff wise thinking about camp, showing off staff photos for people to repost, tagging staff, reaching out to staff in a non-email, hey, you want to work here again kind of way. I think that's the now thing that should be happening every day. But in regards to staff application, I would be really curious for a assistant director or director to actually go through their staff application process and to see how simplistic it could really be. Something that I think is a no-brainer is that the staff application for your camp should be able to be completed on your phone in less than 10 minutes. And I know there's ACA standards, and I know there's fun things you have to do in regards to that and other things, but making sure that your software that you're using to track that can do that is important. And like the dream is for you to be able to go to a camp fair or job fair, whatever it's under the name of, for someone to scan a QR code and to be able to apply now, right? Not have to create a CampMinder account, not have to download a Camp Canyon app or thing comparable to that, right? It should be able to be done in the moment, lickety split. And maybe because of the software that you use or how you track things, that's a Google form that you circle back to and, you know, you're able to get them to fill out the application afterwards. But to collect that information in the moment, it's a no-brainer to me. And if you don't have something like that and you're expecting people to go home after you speak to them, open up a computer, create a Camp in Touch account or whatever program you use, and fill out your staff application where you're going to ask them 5 open-ended short essay questions, you are unwell. You are crazy. You're going to lose people. It's absolutely ludicrous to have that kind of mentality. People, I can buy a $250 Nike shoe that's going to sell out in a minute, in 2 seconds, going beep, boop, one click, right? I can use Face ID in my phone to make a $400 purchase at a Costco, right? Like, this has to be streamlined. You can apply for Amazon in 2 minutes on your phone.
You can buy a car. You can buy a car.
Exactly. Yeah. So if applying to work at your camp is like sitting down and writing a college essay or jumping through a bunch of hula hoops or downloading an app, you are living in the past. You need to figure something else out because, oh Lord, you are losing people.
Okay. So I'm going to throw it right back to you again, Justin. So all of a sudden, okay, I fall over and die. Okay. And they need you here at Liberty Lake and you relent and you come back. Okay. And now you're like, I got to put my money where my mouth is. I had 1 million people listen to the Day Camp Pod and I talked about that thing. So what am I going to do? So I think, so obviously, CampMinder is awesome, right? And Camp Rain and Camp whatever the other one is, Campsite, like they're all good at what they do. But you're right, they're cumbersome, and most of them don't work great on the phone. So you would create a Google form that you could, right? Is that what you're saying? That would be like a preliminary staff application.
sure, you could do Google form. I can't give away what I would. Then I'm not commodity. I got no secret.
You have to learn what Peter Ross is. Kidding. You give information and nobody's going to execute it anyway. So just
that's true. That's very true. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to go about it. A Google form, I would say, is the easiest and less. That's like what anyone could figure out how to do. There's probably cleaner methods. I mean, I don't work in the camp industry right now. This is not something I've said. This is just something that blows my mind that no one's jumped on. I would say there's a lot of stuff in Microsoft. I mean, I use Microsoft at work. So like, I just think of like things on Microsoft Teams and whatnot. And so that's where my brain goes. But yeah, this is definitely something that people should be exploring and figuring out, because like, nothing better than that good old, I love Campminder. I want to make that clear. I love Paul. I love Dan. I love everyone at Campminder. But nothing better than that good old, like, you know, incomplete application with the kickback of like, finish your application email. It's like, oh, I have to go back and like do more. Are you kidding? And so it's, yeah, it's just, it's tricky.
We use AppliTrack, and they just went to a system where you can do it on your phone. So finally, job fairs, we have the code now and they can. But our problem is onboarding. Our onboarding process is archaic and cumbersome, and they're out of town trying to, it's ridiculous trying to onboard from out of town.
Justin, give 2 minutes about the Lululemon onboarding and how, like, the experience of it.
What, like in a corporate setting or like in like a retail setting?
Yeah, just recently, that's the frontline staff.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, COVID doesn't count. So, because we're out of COVID, but nowadays, when you get hired, you go to like this like conference area, like a meetup, like, so like, there would be a Philly metro area meetup that would pull from like South Jersey and Philly. And you'd go there for like a day of training, and it would be like me and like someone like a Dave Malter, who's a little older, and we both like work retail, and we tell you about everything, and we get you outfitted, and we have a lot of fun. And you get to know a bunch of people at different stores, because the stores have like little networks. And then you sit through some online training, and then you show up to the store and start working. And so you're just like, wow, Lululemon people are cool. That was a lot of fun. We got to know them, got to learn a little bit about the product and how the company operates. Let's go sell some product. And then, you know, during that process, you fill out your, you know, your working papers. If, well, we don't hire.
So, I'm some 18-year-old and I fill out an application, online application on my phone, I'm sure, for Lululemon. Mm-hmm. All right. Then what happens?
Group
like
interview.
How does the interview process like start happening?
Yeah. I mean, I think all the questions are honestly public at this point, but you just, the group interview is kind of just like who you are and how you handle situations. And then the individual interview is just like, what could you bring to the team? And idea is a big part of Lululemon. It's inclusion, diversity, equity, and action. And so they try to make a well-balanced team of size, age, background, everything in between. And so just figuring out if you'd mesh. And so when you interview for Lululemon, you tend not to apply to a particular store. You tend to apply for a region. And then they kind of find the best home for you. So you'll be in an interview and it'll be like maybe three assistant store managers from three different stores. And they're kind of like, oh, I want this one. We're like, I don't know if this one would be the best fit. So on and so forth. So.
Interesting. All right, Justin, thanks for your time. Really,
my pleasure. Look, again, I love camping. I feel like I'm this negative person, but
what?
I guess the thing is,
constructive criticism is good.
Exactly. And it's hard to read the label from inside the bottle, right? And so I'm just trying to give a little outsider.
Where'd you get that one from?
I don't know. Probably Lululemon. Probably someone probably said it to me. And I was like,
that's a good one.
It's a good one.
So true. No, so true. Yeah. We camp people, we tend to be in our own little silos. Mm-hmm. And that's why we love going to Tri-State and some of these places like that, where we get all these other ideas or listen to the Day Camp podcast.
Day Camp.
We
want to thank, what a wraparound.
I want to thank the Go Camp Pro team, Camptivities, commercial recreation specialists for allowing us to bring this podcast for you. If you like what you hear, you should subscribe to the Day Camp Pod on your favorite podcast platform. Check out the show notes from all of our episodes at daycamppodcast.com, as well as contact info for the show, our guest Justin, and for me and for Sam. Thank you for listening and making yourself a better day camp pro. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of the Day Camp Pod.
The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by Go Camp Pro and the Go Camp Pro Podcast Network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends. Hey, camp pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a GoCamp Pro podcast, a masterclass, from the Summer Camp Pros group on Facebook, at a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, we can encourage camp pros to keep freely sharing their brilliant ideas and make the camp industry better. Thanks very much.